Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Welcome. So the song that we're going to do here for our prelude is called Now the Silence. This is a hymn that you may not know, but it has some kind of cool words. Now the silence, now the peace, now the empty hands uplifted, now the kneeling, now the plea, now the Father's arms in welcome, now the hearing, now the power, now the vessel brimmed for pouring, now the body, now the blood, now the joyful celebration, now the wedding, now the songs, now the heart forgiven leaping, now the Spirit's visitation, now the Son's epiphany, now the Father's blessing, now, now, now.
From Kelly Meyer as well, and my husband, Pastor John, will be preaching this morning. It is one is the day made. Amen. And we can rejoice and we can be glad in this beautiful day. We warmly welcome you if you are a first-time guest, if you're just with us. We would love to connect and say hello after worship. And now let's turn our hearts and minds to a song of praise.
Thank you for that beautiful music. And good morning. It is a pleasure to be worshiping with you this morning. It's a gorgeous fall day. God is good. So let's open in prayer. God of grace and God of light, for this day we give you thanks. Thank you for waking us up, putting breath in our lungs, and drawing us to this time of worship. We gather in person and online from various corners of the community to praise and worship you. We pray for your spirit to be with us this day, to open our hearts to the word you might share with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. It is warming up outside, which is always my favorite part of the day. It's beautiful. The sun is shining. I really, truly enjoy the time worshiping outside. I think it's just wonderful to see the sun and enjoy God's creation together. So today, I wanted to share a little moment with the kids. I can see some faces out there, even with the masks on. Hello. Today we're hearing a scripture that was written by Paul. So have any of you heard of Paul before? Can you raise your hand? Paul the Apostle? It's okay, adults, you can raise your hand too. Yeah, all right, awesome. Yes, so the Apostle Paul wrote a lot of letters to a bunch of different churches in his day. And I don't know about you, but I love receiving letters. I think that it's one of the most exciting things ever when you get to your mailbox and you open it and there's something that's been handwritten addressed to you. I can only imagine how excited those churches must have been when the little page boy was walking into their town carrying a letter from Paul to be read to their congregation. It would have been super exciting. But Paul actually wrote a lot of his letters from prison. Now, it wasn't because Paul did anything actually wrong. He was sharing Jesus with the world. And some people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, kind of like almost like the government, but not quite like our government, they didn't like that. And so they had Paul imprisoned. And so today, if you weren't able to grab one on the way in, you can grab one on your way out. But over on the table with the busy bags is this little coloring sheet. And it has a picture of Paul writing one of his letters in prison. And so he wrote the letter that we're going to be hearing the scripture from today called, it's 2 Timothy. It was the second letter that he wrote to Timothy. So it's pretty appropriately named. And he wrote this letter to Timothy as a way of teaching Timothy how to pastor other people, how to love them better. And so I just am always amazed by how much dedication it would have taken to continue to do ministry even when he was imprisoned for doing it in the first place. So the Apostle Paul is a really great example to us of setting good priorities in your life, of making Jesus the most important thing, of making other people and loving them and sharing the word of God with them the most important thing. And so I would encourage you, as all of you are, whether you're doing a little bit of school in person, whether your school is mostly online like mine, still finding time to share your love for Jesus with others. When you're asked a question, and even just loving them and accepting them the way they are, that is a way that you can show Jesus' love too without even saying anything. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all of the apostles and the examples that you've provided to us over the years, the amazing characters in the Bible that we have your word to read and to learn from. God, we thank you for that. I pray that as all of these children and these adults go forward into the rest of their week, that they would be emboldened by the examples of all of these people that you have that have gone before us, God. I pray that we would look back on our lives and be able to say that we have fought the good fight, that we finished the race. Thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So thank you, Bailey. So this next song is called Londonderry Air. It's an Irish tune, and popular folk tunes oftentimes were made into hymns. And this song was made into a hymn called O Christ the Same.
Thank you.
This morning's scripture reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kelly, for reading the scripture this morning. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to use our time wisely. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have spent some time this last week thinking about the ways that I have enjoyed spending time the most. And if you're like me, I would imagine some of you probably think about time that you've spent with family, with friends, in places that are beautiful, maybe underneath a night sky with the stars shining brightly, maybe in a deep forest, maybe you've spent time on a beach and you imagine yourself just in this sublime place of beauty, some place that you really have etched in your mind, a mental photograph that you can never let go of. Maybe when you take a moment to think about how you used your time best, you think about some time that you've spent doing something for somebody else. I'll never forget in high school, I had an opportunity to build a wheelchair ramp for somebody who hadn't been out of their house in 16 months. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine what it would be like to not be able to leave my home for 16 months. Earlier this year, some of us got to experiment with a little bit of what it's like to be isolated in that way. And when we were in the stay home, stay safe executive order time period earlier this year, when most folks were barely leaving their homes except to go to the grocery store. And after 2 months, I don't know about you, but I was losing my mind. It was hard to stay at home. Maybe some of you enjoyed it. If you're an introvert, maybe you read lots of great books and you enjoyed that time. This sermon series that we've been on, it's been focusing about how we use our time, how we spend the time that God has given us. At the end of the day, no matter who you are, all of us have the same amount of time each and every day. And while I'd love to say it's 24 hours, I know that it's not quite that, which is why we have leap years every 4 years to catch up with where we're supposed to be in our trip around the sun. It's close to that. We each have the same amount of time, and I'm here to tell you this morning that I'm a little worried about how Americans have been using their time lately. In 2019, before this pandemic hit, the average American spent 6 minutes a day exercising. I heard somebody laugh over here. I was sort of anxious about that as well. I mean, when you hear that, it sort of gives you pause about how much time we're spending exercising. The average American spends somewhere between 1.5 hours to 1 hour and 45 minutes doing household tasks, which might include preparing meals or cleaning up the house or laundry. that the average American spends close to 9 hours a day in front of a computer or phone screen. When you think about those statistics, it sort of gives you pause about how much time we're giving and how much energy we're giving to electronic devices. The average American in a given week will spend about 7 or 8 minutes a day volunteering or giving their time to somebody else. And that's what we're here to talk about today, is how we use our time. We've been in this sermon series where Pastor Lindsay has talked about the time that we spend praying and the time that we spend reading scripture. The average teenager in the United States will spend 4 hours and 45 minutes a day on social media. Now, I'm not here to stand up here and say that I'm somehow outside of that loop. I spend my fair share of time on social media. In fact, this morning at about 9 o'clock, my cell phone buzzed and I reached out and it was an alert that said that my screen time was up 36% in the last week and that I've spent on my phone on average 5 hours and 36 minutes a day. And some of that's on the phone, making phone calls. Some of that's on social media. Other of it is surfing the web. Others of it is reading the news. But I want to let you know that it didn't used to be like that. How many of you remember about 15 years ago when you would go to log into the internet and it would do the dial-up tone? Do you remember that? And it would screech in your ears, that obnoxious America Online dial tone, where it would dial the number and then... And sometimes the internet connected, but sometimes it didn't. And you'd sit there frustratingly looking at your computer, wondering what you had done wrong. Did you dial the wrong number? What was wrong with your connection? 15 years ago, I was fine without the internet. But I'm here to tell you, as a millennial, these days, if internet goes out in my home or here at the church, I feel like I've lost my blood pressure. I literally can tell at any moment when I'm connected or not. And I'm pretty sure that kind of connectedness is leading to some of the other issues that we're having in our world today. When you spend 4 hours and 45 minutes a day on social media, it's easy to find yourself comparing yourself to other people. It's easy to get down and anxious about whether or not you're measuring up to all of your friends and other folks within your social network. It's easy to lose yourself in the endless rat race of trying to compare yourself to other people. I don't know about you, but I feel behind if I don't get news instantaneously. I feel this moment of shame if I don't get the notifications on my phone that tell me significant things that have happened around the world or right here in my own community. And it's this endless race to try to keep up with the information that's being shared in the world today. It makes me anxious also to sit in a restaurant and see a family around a dinner table, and all 4 or 5 or 6 or both of them are on their phones the whole time. Have you seen that moment? I'm here to tell you that we've probably done that ourselves at times when we just need a mental break. But I'm thinking that these actions, as they've grown over the last couple of years, are starting to have an impact on our overall mental health and wellness. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in our world today in the United States, 1 in 5 high school students has had a thought about doing self-harm or taking their own life at least once in the last calendar year. Those statistics didn't used to be like that. 15 years ago, that was not the reality for most high school students in America. But it doesn't take very much effort for us to figure out why. I'm here to tell you today that most of the social networks that people engage in, and there's over 3.6 billion people in the world that are somehow connected to Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or Twitter. but most of those social media platforms were designed by people who specialize in addiction. And over the last 5 years, we've gone from spending an average of 1 hour a week on social media to close to five. I wonder where that trend is going to go. There are a couple of ways that we can combat depression, and I'm anxious, you know, as we are broadcasting our church service over Facebook and YouTube, and folks are spending more time online here in 2020 than even we did with those statistics in 2019. I'm here to tell you I'm anxious about all of our mental health. I don't know about you, but something inside of me sort of cringes every time somebody says, let's meet on Zoom. Not to say it's bad or the wrong decision to make, but I'm missing the experience that I have when I look somebody face to face and I can see the muscles in their face move that let me know that they're smiling. I miss that experience that I get when I'm sitting face to face with somebody talking about something that really matters. This sermon series is all about these spiritual disciplines of prayer and reading scripture, and today we're here to talk about missions. But I'm wondering if as a church we can commit ourselves to using our time in some new and innovative ways. This is an incredibly missional church, if you're not familiar with it. If you're visiting for the first time, just 1 week ago, we had tons of volunteers doing Habitat for Humanity and a metals scrap drive, and we are sending folks down to CAS. I think we bring that national average up. But if you're feeling isolated, and if you're feeling depressed, and if you're feeling disconnected, or if you're feeling like these last couple of months have taken a toll on your mental health and well-being, my question for you is this. When's the last time that you've spent time in mission, serving somebody else? This morning, I want to invite forward Mary Kushner, who's just going to share a brief word about one way that you can spend your time over the next couple of weeks. We've got a walk that this church has been engaged in for many years called the Crop Walk. And it's one of the many ways that you can spend some of your time doing something really good for somebody else. Let's please welcome Mary.
Good morning. It's so nice to be out here this morning. It is crop walk time again. I have my crop walk shirt on. And the week of October 11th through 18th, we're kind of doing crop walk virtually this year. We've been encouraged to do a virtual crop walk. So I'm here to share how you can do that. I have a fact that was sent to us about food security. If female farmers had the same access to resources as men, the number of the world's hungry could be reduced by up to 150 million. An interesting fact, but my son, who is in the Navy, he's a commander in the Seabees, and he did a deployment in Djibouti, Africa, a few years ago. And one of the things he told us that he noticed was that as they were building schools and digging wells, the women were the ones who got things done in Djibouti. He said by 11 o'clock in the morning, the men were pretty much worthless. So I think it is a true fact. Crop Hunger Walks helps rural communities, especially women, to expand their ability to have sustainable access to food. For most of us, food security is a given. We simply go to the grocery store and get what we need. Yet families in rural developing nations like that of Francisca Hernandez are dependent on what they can grow. Francisca has always been interested in farming. Her family planted beans and corn, the basic diet of the Miskito tribe in the Rio Coco region of Nicaragua. But drought and plague often left them hungry. With help from Crop Hunger Walks, Francisca and her family learned innovative agricultural techniques, added new vegetables and fruits to their garden, began raising chickens and sheep, and learned how to farm despite drought. Now Francisca shows other families what she has learned about crop diversity, soil preservation, irrigation systems, and organic fertilizers and pesticides. So the money that we raise by Walking for Crop goes to wonderful things like this that can help others have the food security that we have. So I encourage you to walk with your family. We have some pieces of paper that show you how to get online to Crop Walk Online, to our Bright Dairy Crop Walk. Last year we raised over $16,000, so we're hoping we can do that again this year with your help. We are walking virtually, so you can walk on your own with friends, family, and donate online, and we'll give you all the information to do that. So thanks for your help.
That's one of the few things, I guess, that I can say I love about 2020 is it's forced us to do everything differently, to be creative. And so now none of us have any reason not to do Crop Walk. We have a whole week. We don't have to commit to one particular day. But if you go out and do a 5K and you just walk in a morning, or you take your dog out for a walk, that can be your Crop Walk. If you take an evening walk to sort of cool down in the evening, that can be your Crop Walk. And you have a whole week from the October 11th to October 18th to do that. So I hope that we do that together. If you're feeling anxious or depressed, or you're feeling unworthy during this season of 2020, if you're feeling disconnected or isolated or afraid, there's a couple things that you can do. One, you can go outside. You can walk, you can get exercise, you can do something good for somebody else. You can set a goal and achieve it. You can do all of those things, raise money for a great cause like the Crop Walk. You can accomplish all of those things by simply signing up and talking with Mary and doing that after the worship service. We all have 24 hours in a day. And as we close this sermon series that we've been on for the last 3 weeks, and we think about how we spend our time to pray and read the scriptures and serve one another in mission, it's my hope that at some point during this program year, from September to May, that you'll find something to do with your time that you've never done before. One of the most moving experiences that I've ever had in my life was down at Redbird Mission. We were down in the hills of Kentucky, and we were working on a roof, which is one of the many projects that you can do on a trip like that. And I remember there was this family that was living underneath a roof where there were 25 to 30 leaks in the roof. And one group had come through, and they had torn off all of the shingles the week before. And it was raining, and water was coming in through everywhere. And our group worked and worked and worked throughout the course of the entire week. And on Friday, it rained again. Whereas there would have been buckets and cups and bowls and all kinds of things to catch the water in the home just 2 weeks before, we went inside this family's home and there was not a single leak. My question for you this day is, when's the last time that you've engaged in mission? And what can we do to change our culture's addiction to screens? What can we do for our grandkids and for our children and for ourselves to break ourselves from the cycle of reaching to our phone on average 72 times a day? I wonder how the world would be different if instead of reaching for our phones, we found ways to reach out to people, to connect, to let them know we're here. When I picked out this scripture, one of the things that went through my mind, as Bailey said earlier this morning, is that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter from jail. Not for something that he did, but for who he was. He was imprisoned for his faith because he couldn't help but sharing his faith with other people. And when I think about the Apostle Paul, he concludes this portion, 2 Timothy chapter 4, with the words, "I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've poured myself out like an offering, like a libation on the table. I've given everything I have. And my concern is that if we spend 4 hours and 45 minutes a day on our phone, or 5 hours or 7 hours, maybe we'll never start the race. Maybe we'll never put down our phones. Maybe we'll never walk in the crop walk. Maybe we'll never stitch masks for frontline workers. Maybe we'll never go on another Redbird mission trip. Maybe we'll be too afraid to set down our phones for a couple of hours so that we might listen to a friend in need. Maybe we'll never have a good family dinner again. So let's fight the good fight and let's finish the race. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful during this season where our phones might be the only thing that we have to connect us with the people that we love, for the gifts of technology. But God, we pray that we wouldn't fall victim to allowing us to become addicted to them. We pray that we would never become so reliant on the internet that we fail to reach out to the people in our neighborhood. We pray that you would allow these devices and these tools to be instruments to share your good news with the world today. Because I'm convinced people might need you, your son Jesus Christ, now more than ever. So let this church be a beacon of hope for hungry people in places like Djibouti and right here in our own backyard. Allow us to roll up our sleeves and go outside to do things that you've called us to do in this world. May our hands be dirtied with the soil from our gardens. And may we spend more time with the people that we love. Let's make our time count. And let's make our screen time matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I would invite you to continue in a time of prayer with me. One way in which many folks in our church are spending their time are making beautiful prayer quilts. This quilt this morning is going to be shared, and we want to lift her up in prayer this morning, praying for healing and blessings upon her. Will you please join me in prayer? Oh, holy and loving God, creator of life, light among us, we gather this day and we especially remember. Pour out your blessings upon her. May she feel the warmth of your love and your embrace as her body goes through a time of healing and wholeness. God, you who are the great physician among us, as wraps herself in this blanket, may she be reminded that her church family wraps her in love and wraps her in prayer, that her family might feel the love and the support of this congregation as well. Oh, Holy One, we gather this day for worship, and we've been pausing and pondering how we've been using our time. God, it's challenging. So much going on, so much to do, things on our mind. God, we lay those worries and those burdens at your feet. Help us, God, to find those sacred, still moments that we might meet you, encounter you in a time of walking outside and in seeing your beauty. Or that we might find you and embrace you in a moment of prayer, or a word of scripture, or a conversation of encouragement with a friend. Oh God, we continue to pray for those who are on the front lines. We continue to pray for those who are providing care for persons who are ill. We continue to lift up our children in schools and teachers across the nation. We continue to pray for our world and pray for peace. God, we seek to be your disciples, to walk faithfully in your footsteps. So God, lead us this day. And now we join in praying the prayer together which Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When Bibles are shared with our third graders and our kindergartners, when new members join our community of faith, when people go out in service in mission to the world, and when we gather here for worship, all of this is made possible thanks to your giving and your tithes and your offerings. Thank you for being a part of the ministry and mission of Christ, not only with your time and your talents, but also with your financial resources as well. In this time of offering, you're invited to go online and give through easy electronic means. You're also welcome to give in our offering baskets at the hospitality table as you passed coming forward. May you give generously as we continue the work of Christ. Amen.
What a perfect piece this morning to just think, to spend a moment thinking about what it feels like to be together forever. It's my conviction that we have to invest in each other, perhaps to sort of stabilize all of the forces in this world that make us feel like we're not enough, that make us feel like we're not good enough. And so I encourage us as we go out into all of the places that God calls us to go, to affirm one another, to use our best words with one another, to build people up instead of tear them down. Social media can be a dangerous place, a place where you can lose yourself. So may we all spend time together investing in the relationships that matter the most. Before we go out, I just want to share with you a couple of announcements. The first is, if you've been attending this church over the course of the summer, you've loved being outside. We hope you've enjoyed it. It's a beautiful venue, and on days like this, I'm like, man, we should just do this. This sounds wonderful. If this is becoming your spiritual home and you want to learn more about United Methodism, we want to encourage you to sign up for our membership class. You can talk with Pastor Lindsay about that after the service. If you're interested in just learning more about United Methodism, who are these people called Methodists, you can sign up for that class as well. We invite members and folks who are interested in joining to be a part of that study. The second thing I want to share with you is after meeting for the last couple of months and talking about what the future might look like for worship, the COVID task force here at our church has decided that we feel comfortable moving our services that have been happening outside inside. And we're looking next Sunday to have worship at 8 o'clock and 9:30 and 11 o'clock inside the sanctuary, with masks being mandatory. We need you to wear a mask if you're going to come inside. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, of course, our services will be broadcasted on Facebook and on YouTube and on our website as they have been in the past. As we look into October, we realize that the season is no longer summer. I don't know about you, but I wish we could have more summer. But we've taken every provision. We've looked at our HVAC system in the sanctuary, analyzed it with regards to the CDC's guidelines, and we're taking every precaution to make sure that the pews will be socially distant. Our ushers will help you be seated at least 6 feet apart from your neighbor. Our air filtration system will be strong in the sanctuary. But next Sunday, we'll have services at 8, 9:30, and 11. And we're going to cap the attendance at 80 people, which is one quarter of the total capacity of our sanctuary. Those are a couple of the steps that we've taken to keep people safe, but that's the next step for worship. At Whitmore Lake, we'll have a service at 9:30. And if you have any questions or concerns about moving worship inside next Sunday, please come and find one of us on staff. An email with all of these details will be sent out on Tuesday, so continue to monitor your email for more information about our next steps here in worship. As we depart from this place this day, I pray that God would go with you, that God would surround you and enfold you in God's steadfast love, that you would know that you are a child of God, that we'd all do something in the next week to serve our neighbor, to give back, to make the community that we live in better and to improve somebody's wellness and well-being. As we depart from this place, may we go with the blessing of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.